Blog Talk Radio.
There you have it, folks. We are officially on the air live. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Hoffman, and we are here tonight to bring you a pretty crazy show. We're going to be speaking with Karen Melton Stewart and P. David Gorbatz about direct energy weapons and their use on the American citizens as it is happening right now as we speak. They have developed this technology way down to a size that fits into a purse, to a pocketbook. And a person could be standing across from you in, on the bus, getting you with a direct energy weapon. It's crazy. You won't believe it. This is happening. This lady has proven that she is under attack by these weapons. They are now trying to railroad her and convince people that she's crazy. They tried to Baker Act her and didn't quite work out too good. So you want to stick around. I'm going to start this show here in just a second. You know, good stuff getting ready to happen.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
All right, and I'll be back right after this.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com, the official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level. And fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. Citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. Citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please say Dave Bray, USA.
I know.
Right now
I'm being told.
That's DaveBray, USA.
All units, stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling, 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden, end of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
While the NRA defends the Second Amendment, the American brand fights the propaganda war. My name is Scott Kesterson, and I am president of the American brand. The American Brand is a next-generation media, education outreach, and political action training organization designed for Red State America. We are an organization built on the inalienable rights guaranteed in our Constitution, on the core values of hard work, on integrity, and on a deep commitment to faith and love for country. The left is working tirelessly to have you believe that red states and red counties are second-class citizens and should have no political power. Nothing could be further from the truth. The American Brand has been built to strengthen the political voice of red state small towns and rural communities, to preserve American values, and to train and mobilize the next generation of red state small business and political leadership. It is a bold vision forged from the experiences of small business and military special operations. Visit our website at theamericanbrand.org. That's theamericanbrand.org to learn more. We need your support and your donations to make this work. Join us in the fight. Thank you. God bless, and God bless this great country.
There you have it, folks. One more time right here. I'm talking to somebody who's got something important for a veteran family.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
All right, folks, that brings us to my favorite part of the show right now. Here we go. If you have the opportunity, and you're in front of a screen, and you can join me as we pay a tribute to our flag every show, twice a show. I got a crappy picture going on. I don't know why the picture's going on. We must be being blocked. Once again, they do this type of stuff. But we will... You'll be able to tell us the flag, and you'll be able to hear the song, ladies and gentlemen. So stand with me. Remove your hats. Hand on your hearts. Now, I know it looks like when I go like this, I'm putting my hand on my right side. The camera is backwards on Facebook, so please. I have my hand over my heart. I am, you know, this is not in the right ear. I'm not, you know, advertising for the other team. It's in my left ear. And this is my left side. So join me. Angela's joining me. Dennis is joining me. My number one fan, my good friend Ed. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. To hell with the NFL. Here we salute the flag.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. Hail the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the
have it, folks. That's for all my fans and folks who are disgusted with the NFL, National Felons League. Marshall, what's up? Great job on the drums, brother. Maybe you might have caught us a little jam session tribute. Terry, looks like Terry's chiming in. What's up, brother? We did an impromptu tribute to Malcolm Young yesterday, including five songs, a couple of little off the rails. We had no rehearsals, zero rehearsals. We dove right in, feet first, cement shoes and all. We did a great little tribute. I enjoyed it. I watched the video a couple times. It is now set to only me, as members of the band wish not to be shown in that video, which I don't understand. They didn't watch it. They missed it. It's pretty dang good. I liked it. The fans of Patriot Nation Radio know the deal. They're not stupid. They seen I put it right there. Hey, we haven't practiced. We got no rehearsal. We got a fill-in drummer who hasn't played AC/DC since he's 16 years old. He's going to come in and play drums for us, winging it. And we did great. Maybe again someday in the future I'll share the video again. After the dust settles down a little bit. But anyhow, all kinds of stuff going on in the world today. Hey, my friend Rob Hubert's watching. Hey, Rob, what's shaking, brother? Man, all the folks from the high school days are coming out. My wife's friend from high school, Angela's watching too. I want to say thanks to everybody watching. Paul, what's happening? I was watching a really cool video. My friend Paul and his son racing around with the remote control car in the dirt. Looked like it was kind of cold over there, though, wearing the hats and the coats and stuff. Thanks, Renee. That'd be great. Pixels, folks. I'm sorry about the poor video quality. I have the hotspot on. I'm sitting right next to my router, and I got no picture. It's crazy. I don't understand why it's like that, especially tonight. My guest tonight has tried to get a message out many times. She has proven her allegations that include direct energy weapons. And I wonder if I just went like this. I'm going to try this, folks. I wonder if I just did this. I don't know. We'll try that. How's the sound now? You know, who knows what the sound is like? And the second the thing's going to flip around, I try to do the other camera, do it the right way instead of having it backwards. See, now look, the fan print. Here's my heart. Here's the earring in my left ear. See? So anyway, the direct energy weapons, man, they're real. Think about what happened at 9/11. You know, direct energy weapons could have easily vaporized that concrete and then buildings. That's why it turned to dust, and they didn't have gigantic bricks and boulders, and that's why it was only 2 stories high and not 10 stories high of debris, because the stuff was turned to dust. Direct energy weapons fired from like somewhere out there in a satellite, and it looks still pixelated. I don't know, folks. I don't know. But without further ado, I got to bring in my guest, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show, Miss Karen Melton Stewart, formerly an NSA employee, blew the whistle and is now under attack. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Hey, Mark. It's an honor to be back here with you.
Of course. Thank you so much for coming on. I think that this stuff needs to come out. People need to hear what the government and what the lengths they will go to silence people in this country who might be otherwise shedding some light on some illegal or horrifying activity that should not be occurring in a workplace and things like that. Have you been? I heard that there's been some developments in your case regarding your folks and stuff like that. What's going on there?
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me see if I can do just a slight recap for the people who've never heard me before. I graduated from Florida State University and applied to work for the National Security Agency as a linguist and an analyst, meaning that I would write reports and sometimes I would translate the material that I wrote the reports on from a foreign language. So that essentially was my job for 28 years. I had a top secret clearance. And when I went to the inspector general and asked him why promotion board member had come to me and said, well, you know, the 6 months of top secret reports that you did in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom, I hate to tell you this, but basically two of your managers lied to the promotion board and told them some other woman had done your reports and she got your double promotion. And I was horrified. And I went to the inspector general, and the first person I talked to was extremely interested in investigating because he said that's exactly what we investigate. And then, you know, a day or so later, he got back to me and said that the inspector general, who was George Ellard, said that nobody cares. Nobody cares why anybody gets a promotion. Therefore, we're not going to investigate. And soon thereafter, I got called down to NSA Security Psychological Services and essentially told that if I didn't drop my request to have the theft of my work credit and the theft of my two promotions, if I didn't drop a request to have that investigated, that the psychologist who worked for NSA Security, not the medical center, was going to go through all of my psychological evaluations for the past 20 plus years, which I had passed handily, and she would, quote unquote, find a problem. So that essentially was a threat, you know, and the threat would be, we'll find something to fire you for if you do not drop your request to have this investigated. Well, I didn't drop it. You know,
right.
It was my right legally to pursue it. So at that point in time, they decided, well, you know, we can't get her on a psychological accusation because we've looked through her tests, and she actually had a baseline reevaluation the year before that they started accusing me, where a very top-notch psychologist said that I was one of the strongest people he'd ever met in regard to emotional and psychological strength. So they were kind of up a creek at that point. Well, they decided, and I didn't know that they did this, you know, because I was on the side of the house at NSA that actually did its job and did it legally, but NSA Security was not. What they ended up doing was taking an old concept from East Germany where you would get people to gang stalk you. You know, you would have just, 100 people or more who took turns during the day following you around, invading your space, and doing inappropriate things. So that if you report it to the police, you know, I mean, the police are used to a person stalking you. They're not used to 100 different people doing the same thing to you. You know, like Fred does it today, and Judy does it tomorrow, and, you know, Sally does it the next day or whatever. But it's usually, you know, like multiple people are assigned to you a day to harass you. And then the next day it's totally different people.
And what they're calling this right now is gang stalking. They are gang stalking this lady because she blew the whistle. And they will torture you, torment you, follow you. Now, there was an incident with you when you were driving and they found a guy who had it in his vehicle and you tried to get a police officer to help you out. And what happened with that?
Oh, goodness.
Because you're having a hard time convincing people that something's going on and you're doing everything in your power to look, there's the proof. Look, and they won't look.
Exactly. Well, let me see if I can kind of speed this along and say that NSA Security itself and was gang stalking me for about 3 years, and I knew it was them because they were so stupid as to not remember to take their badges off every so often. Okay, so that was not brilliant. So at a certain point in time, they got desperate to fire me because I just was ignoring them as best as I could. And then in early 2009, they decided, well, if we can't freak her out, then we will basically try to harm her. So what they did was they poisoned a family dog. They killed a Newfoundland that was only 13 months old. They gave it neurotoxin and killed him. And that was verified by a specialist vet. And at the same time, they decided, well, let's just scare the heck out of her. We can basically get together and do choreographed aggressive driving so that every time she goes from her home to work, it's a minefield. And so they would do that. They would try to run me off the road. They would try to make me crash into other people. And at that point in time, when they were endangering not only me but people around me, I did go to my management and tell them. At that point in time, they told security. Security jumped on it and said, oh, you're imagining this, without investigating anything. And then they put me on administrative leave. And then they had the people in my neighborhood stalk and harass me by telling them something horrible. You know, I still don't know what. And that, of course, is basically government going into the neighborhood and arranging with neighborhood watch. Or, as I found out, you know, there are other groups that are called InfraGuard and Citizen Corps and things like that. They will blatantly lie to these people and say that you're a pedophile, you're a traitor, you're a mole, you're a this, you're a that, you know, and just absolutely get these people, you know, freaked out. And they think they're actually doing something for the country when they're not.
Right. Well, you just touched on something. you just touched on something here that I want to point out real fast. You pointed out that they say things like they turn you into a pedophile or a thief or whatever it is. And look how many allegations now are coming out against people for being pedophiles. How many of these are real claims and how many of these are fabricated lies to bring doubt into the minds of people who might be voting for a particular person? I mean, it's a real far.
I think it's a magic word.
Right. You know? Scary.
It is. It is.
So now that.
That seems to be the magic word that you can say against anybody. Nobody investigates. Nobody thinks. They just assume that because somebody says it, that you are, which is absolutely ludicrous.
Why would somebody lie about that? Oh, you don't lie about it. Some people don't report it because they're scared. I get that. Everybody gets that. People don't report things because they're afraid, whether it's getting direct energy weapons fired at them or if they get violated by somebody. And they're afraid to come forward. And that makes sense. But after 40 years, I'm sorry, you've lived a life. It's too late now. You know, this guy's an old man. He's going to die someday soon. You know, he's got grandkids, for crying out loud. Everybody lived. And there's no proof. How are they going to prove anything? They can't prove it. It's his word against her word. You know, Jesus. Anyway, so now let's fast forward a little bit to the incident with the police officer. And because now they were trying to build a case against you saying that this lady's crazy. She's paranoid. And this all go. They logged all this in and tried to do that, I think. Am I correct?
Well, let me clarify that they did fire me. I had an independent psychologist go to the what I call a kangaroo court to review, and he said there's nothing wrong with this woman. He said it's very clear that she's traumatized by people harassing her, that she's a whistleblower, and that it's basically what's being done to her is illegal. He said, but there's nothing wrong with her. There's no reason to fire her for a mental illness she doesn't have. So they said, thank you very much, and fired me anyway. So I go down, you know, I moved from Maryland to Florida, and basically I go down there half a year or more to live with my parents while my husband's finishing up his career, and I'm helping them out because they're in their 80s, and I'm trying to make sure they can stay in their house for as long as they want to. And after about 5 years of doing this back and forth between Florida and Tallahassee, then I had my lawyer subpoena new information in regard to the lawsuit that I had filed against NSA, because what they did was it fired me for unjust cause, and so it was a labor dispute. So I filed an EEO complaint and was accepted by the EEOC, which is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And, of course, you're in line with a million other people, so the lawsuit or appeal was put on the shelf until they got around to it. And by 2015, I had discovered new material. I had discovered the identity of a NSA manager who had broken into my house in order to, I don't know what. You know, one of the things that happened was that all of our extra keys were missing. So this means that they stole the keys so they could access our house, our mail, and our cars. So we did see signs of all of that. So I think personally what they did was they wanted to see how much I knew about them. They weren't looking for my wrongdoing because there was none. But anyway, I discovered his identity and had my lawyer subpoena information in regard to him, and all hell broke loose. Basically, what happened that was.
I was doing a little research and looking back into the case, and I saw there was a photograph of a gentleman. And that's the gentleman that you're talking about now?
Very possibly, yes, because I have printed that that photo. His name is Eric Hogman. He was a computer and electronics specialist at NSA. And my husband and I saw him leaving the house one day, and we thought, what in the world? And we found out that when we went in the house, we found the back sliding glass door had been broken open, and all of our extra keys were stolen. But we didn't realize that for several days because we looked around and no TV, no stereo, nothing was stolen. And we thought, what in the world happened here? So in fact, 2 days later, I saw him at NSA. So I knew that he worked there. And I was able to see him a second time, and I drew him, because you're not allowed to have cameras with you. You can't even have a cell phone inside of NSA because it takes pictures and it records, and they don't want that type of thing inside NSA. So I memorized his features, and I drew
everybody.
Him.
Recording devices inside the building at NSA. Record everything,
exactly.
But not in here. We're a bunch
exactly.
of criminals. I found in my lifetime, anybody who's paranoid and thinking everybody's up to something no good are the ones that are up to no good the most.
Yes, that's what I have concluded in my lifetime, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, we subpoenaed information on this gentleman because I was an eyewitness to the break-in. And when I did that, they had a fit. Now, I found out from a Leon County Sheriff's deputy that NSA, the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, basically came to Tallahassee. We did the subpoena in February 2015, and about a month later or so, all these people gathered in Tallahassee. And I'm sorry, but Tallahassee is not really the place that all these people usually gather. So there's not a lot of reason to come there. But I found out that they were gathering at the Phipps property just north of Lake Jackson. And I was told by this deputy, who didn't really know what he was telling me at the time, but he was saying, oh, yes, there's some kind of secret exercise going on with all these people involved in the fusion center. And when you involve the fusion center, you also involve civilian vigilante group, the InfraGuard. So they were having some kind of big secret operation or exercise at exactly the same time that I started being stalked and harassed 24/7 by civilians. Put two and two together. All right. And there was a lot of activity from the Phipps property down to the house where I was staying, my parents' house, that was west of Lake Jackson. So, you know, I followed activity back there, and it was emanating from there and from slightly north toward Havana as well, and figured out, okay, this is what's going on. NSA's come down here. They've engaged the fusion center, and the fusion center has lied to the InfraGuard that I'm some kind of danger. And I find that ironic, since in my lifetime, having reported all kinds of things to my government to protect Americans, it's estimated by my manager that I had saved thousands of lives during my career. So, you know, to say that I'm a danger, that is beyond insulting. But anyway,
yeah.
I had, for several months, these people did the 24/7 stalking harassment, and all I did was make fun of them. So they got rather upset. And by, I think it was about November of 2015, yeah. Okay.
You wave at them.
You know, I have a full of t-shirts and yeah, I made my own bumper stickers, you know, and I would make fun of them.
Hey, how you been? How's the wife?
Yeah.
I'd love to do that stuff. That'd be great if I could do that one day. Be like, call out the guy surveilling me. Hey, look, there's a guy out front. Hey, is that Bob? Hey, Bob, what's going on, brother? Go. Why are you out here?
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Now.
You know, they thought they were freaking me out, but I'm very capable of psy-oping them back, psychologically operating, you know, to freak them out too. So I, you know, was irritated, but I didn't have a real problem with it because I'd been through it before. But by November 2015, they started the directed energy weapons because I was not intimidating and not dropping my case.
Right.
So that was pretty horrific.
Folks are on the live feed, and they want to hear a little bit more here. So now you're driving around town. They're knocking you off the road. They're chasing you around, and then you see one of the guys that you recognize, and you follow him, like, into a parking lot or something, and you're saying, please, look, officer. And what happens?
Well, I will tell you that when I worked for NSA, that directed energy weapons were something we knew would be on battleships or even on Humvees. Now, I did not know at the time that it was possible for them to be miniaturized and put in the engines of cars. This is what was going on when I would leave the house, because I would have some horrifically awful directed energy weapons hitting the house. And so I would basically leave the house and try to get out and away hoping that if I was away from the house, they wouldn't hit my parents with these energy weapons because they're in their 80s. So I try to get out as much as possible. And I discovered to my horror that they do power them with car engines. So I would be tailgated by somebody who was trying to burn me. And these things are, they can be microwave, they can be electromagnetic, they can be sonic, they can be many other types of waves that I probably don't know the names of. But I will tell you that one thing that they have in common is that once they reach a certain strength, they will burn you. Now, if they oscillate...
Didn't you get one leg burnt red while you were sitting in the chair and the other one was not in the direct path of the waves and the other leg didn't get burnt?
You know, you can be burned on parts of your body. I had somebody hit me with a laser and burn me.
Right.
But when you're driving and somebody's on your tail, you can feel it because you're cooking. When it oscillates, it cooks you inside, and what they're hoping to do is give you a stroke, give you a heart attack, and make it look like you've died of natural causes. Because if it does not oscillate, then it looks very much like you have been burned. So
right.
What they want to do is disguise it so they oscillate the energy, all right? So I would feel it. My ears would be burning, pressure in my ears and pressure in my chest burning. And so I'd know somebody was behind me with it. And what I would do to check it is change lanes. If in the 2 seconds it takes you to change lanes, all of a sudden you feel better, then it was the person behind you. And then if they change lanes yet again and start burning again, then yes, it's the guy behind you. And sometimes it's the guy in front of you and they have the devices in the trunk, but there are ways, you know, to figure out who's got this on you at times. Now, there was a guy who, and this happened multiple times. One incident was there was a guy who was on my tail. And so I pulled over on the side of the road and then pulled right out and back of him and got his license plate and started to chase him. Well, he did not have a weapon in the trunk. So he basically ran to a gas station, you know, for safety. And I pulled in right behind him and pretended to get gas. And he got out of the car and started screaming. And so I just kind of ignored him. And another man came over and said, "Is there a problem here?" Because the man was acting like a lunatic. And so he said, "Well, do you mind if I call the police?" I said, "Oh, please be my guest." So the police got there and I said, "All right, here's what's happened in actuality." And I told them, "Look, I'm retired National Security Agency intelligence analyst. I know what I'm talking about, you know." So this guy basically has a device in the engine of his car that is illegal under 18 U.S. code. Okay, it's basically designated a weapon of mass destruction, even if it's mobile. Okay, even if it's a small mobile weapon, you can kill, like, you know, five people in a car. All right, so it's a weapon of mass destruction, or you kill everybody in a bus. All right, that's how strong these things are. So I said, "Look, here's the proof of it." And I went to the back of the car where there was not a weapon, and I took several pictures with my iPhone. I said, "All right, the camera works fine. I've got the back of his car, right?" I said, "Come here to the front of his car, because these things, you turn them on and they power up and they power down. It's like a fan, you know, because it keeps moving, it just slows down." So I showed him at the front of the car. I said, "Look, my camera on my phone will not take a picture. That's because it's frozen because of the frequency at which this weapon operates. It is jamming the phone mechanism." I said, "No, we're going to go to the car again. I'm going to take a picture and there's not going to be a problem." And he looked, and he said, "Well, I don't have probable cause." I said, "You do have probable cause." I said, "If you've got somebody who has drugs in the car and a dog reacts to the drugs, you're not seeing the drugs, are you? But you're seeing the dog react to them. I'm showing you the phone reacting to the directed energy weapon." And so it was Tallahassee Police Department cop named Campbell. And so I said, "Well, I don't have probable cause. I'm going to let it go." And I said, "Okay, you can do that, but then you are letting somebody go who's part of a gang, and you've got a gang stalking organization or a network of gang stalking organizations in Tallahassee that are operating under your noses, and this is your chance to stop it and to stop the harassment that I've been going through for months." And he said, "Oh, I don't have probable cause." And so he lets him go. And so I'm, you know, basically getting in my car ready to leave. I'm unbelievably disgusted. And then he comes over and says, oh, wait, can you show me the thing with the iPhone again? I said, no, it's too late. You just let the guy go. So, and like I said, I basically gave them several of these guys on a silver spoon, and they wouldn't do anything.
Well, you know what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to try to do something here. That I don't know if I can pull it off. I'm going to try it live right here. I'm going to try to add P. David Gorbitz to the show. Let me see if it'll work by adding the call.
Good.
That didn't work. He picked up the line.
Oh,
he didn't hear me. He picked up the line. He didn't hear me. But anyhow, he knows a little bit about direct energy technologies, and he's got a quite an impressive resume as an anti-terrorism expert, apparently. He wrote some books, and the guy's got an extensive resume. I'd like to get him on about his time spent in Iraq. Because he wrote some of the papers he for over there in Iraq that he was that saved lives over there, and he's part of that. No.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. I mean, we've talked before. He was very interested in what had happened to me, and he was going to try to investigate it. When basically things just got way beyond the investigation, procedure. It just things just snowballed into a nightmare. And he had been, like I said, he had connections, and he was going to try to figure out what were the lies told at NSA, you know, that made them fire me, because they had to have some kind of lie that the upper echelon said, yeah, let's go ahead and railroad her out. So there's lies upon lies that were told about me. And like I said, I really resent it, you know, having done not a thing wrong, you know, and having actually been credited with saving lives, you know, military lives. With my reporting. So I'm very much basically beyond galled, you know, beyond galled that my country would do this to me. But this is part of the deep state. What has happened is that you've got criminals who have infiltrated almost every section of government, so that person after person after person in the federal government has said, yeah, I know somebody who basically pointed out wrongdoing, maybe embezzlement, maybe somebody taking home equipment that is for use at work, not for their children, you know, and as soon as you report it, your career is toast. You know, then you being the person of integrity, then you are accused by the worst slime in the world of being them, of being slime, you know. So what they use, I think, is basically they look in the mirror, see what kind of degenerates they themselves are, and then call that, you know, call you that, and then spread rumors that that's what you are when you're not. You know, so you've got the worst of the worst basically chasing out of government the best of the best. You know, the people who will not be bribed or threatened. You know, they're just going to do the right thing because that's just the way they are. So it's very sad for our government. It really is. And you make a very good point in that we have not been paying attention as a people. We have not bothered with politics. We have not bothered to educate ourselves. We just vote depending on what we've tagged ourselves, whether we've tagged ourselves Republican or Democrat. We just go in and automatically vote for whatever they put there that's tagged Republican or Democrat. And people don't think, is this a slimy person? You know,
right.
Is this a
corrupt
person?
I got a few people on the live feed that are pointing out how they believe possibly that direct energy weapons are the cause of a couple of these wildfires out in Northern California. And who knows? And sometimes I believe, because there was a great doctor, I can't think of her name right now, put out a book about direct energy weapons.
Yes, and talked about 9/11.
Yeah, and they disintegrated the World Trade Centers, because that would be at least 10 stories of debris if it wasn't disintegrated. It was only two stories high. And that's kind of crazy. You know, people don't know. You know, they had cars that were out in front of the building. They weren't burnt, but the interiors were melted.
I will tell you that I personally think now that directed energy weapons were used on 9/11. I think it was the CIA. I think it was us. It was a false flag. And the lady, I think it's Judy Wood, Dr. Judy Wood, wrote a book talking about the fact, one of the first things that she pointed out, she said, with this tonnage, with these buildings, you had X amount of tonnage. When X amount of tonnage falls, you're going to get a small earthquake. And she said, I estimated with the weight of the buildings, that is public knowledge, that the small earthquake, and I'm going to make up these numbers because I don't remember the numbers. Let's say she said that the small earthquake should have registered 2.7, but maybe it registered 1.3. Well, what happened to the mass of the buildings in between falling and hitting the ground? The only thing that could have happened is, like you said, they were disintegrated into dust, so there was no weight.
You see how much dust there was.
Yes.
The whole downtown and for 50 blocks past that and all the way into Brooklyn and across the river into Newark. There was dust and debris. That means it disintegrated into dust, you know?
Right. And that's not possible unless you use a directed energy weapon.
Right. And of course,
I have to agree about this.
The other buildings around it, like Building 7 collapsing, that's the most famous one that everybody talks about, Building 7 and a controlled demolition, and they've actually admitted to it. And I don't understand, like, why would they use that? They're like, okay, we knew it was coming. We can get another building built over here if we destroy this one at the same time. You know, it's like they knew, so let's destroy this one, and they'll build a new one at the insurance payment.
Right, and a lot of money disappeared, a lot of money.
Look, what was it, $6 billion or something? Couple days before, Rumsfeld announced, "Oh, we lost $6 billion somewhere. We can't find it." Oops.
Yeah,
that's
the deep state. That's the deep state. What you've got trillions of dollars missing from the U.S. economy, and what it's doing is running a parallel government that means us harm, and that is the deep state. There is no greater threat to the United States than the deep state. China and Russia are not the threat to us, but the deep state is.
Yes, indeed. So what I'm going to do real fast is I have a couple of people on hold here. One might be our friend, David Gorbachev.
Dave, good.
So what I'm going to do real fast is I'm just going to click on a song, and I'm going to screen the call and see if it's him. So if you'll hold on right now. I'm going to play this real fast. It was a Border Patrol agent who was murdered down on the on the border. And this song is called Last Call by Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. You have to see the video for this. It's called Last Call. It's about an officer who's shot in the line of duty and bleeding out on the pavement, and his message to his family and friends. God bless.
My bad.
That song and really understand that song, head on over to DaveBrayUSA.com. And Karen, I got to take a break from our interview real fast. P. David Gorbatz on the line. On the line with us right now, ladies and gentlemen, you may recognize his name from out there at the Malia Wildlife Refuge, riding on the back of Hellboy, carrying an American flag. Mr. Dwayne Emmer, welcome to the show, Dwayne. Thank you so much for giving us your time for coming on the show.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much. I'm happy to tell you guys what happened and what I was convicted of and how long I got to go to prison for. And so where do you want me to start?
Well, let's start right here. Here it is. It's early in end of January, early January, and having a rally in over in Burns, Oregon, the people come out to support the Hammonds. And during this support for the Hammonds, Ammon Bundy and a couple other guys went over to the Malia Wildlife Refuge and kind of said, all right, we're staying here from now until somebody listens to our grievances. The report that you got was, there's terrorists at the wildlife refuge. So you being a citizen and you want to protect your town, you go over there to investigate for yourself. What did you find?
I found, it was like 30 miles from town. And so when I got there, it was about dark. I've never been there before, so I thought I was lost. And I was thinking a different sort of terrorist than what we are. You know, we're not terrorists. We're just normal, everyday people. But what I found was Ryan Mundy coming out of a little hooch in a cowboy hat. And I said, well, where's all these terrorists at? And he says, terrorists, I don't know about any terrorists, but we're about to go eat dinner, and we pray before we eat, and you could eat with us if you don't mind us praying. I said, well, I'm hungry. And so we went to dinner. It wasn't anything like what the news said.
Right.
So that was my first 5 minutes at the wildlife refuge. There wasn't that many people there when I showed up on January 2nd.
Right. And so, it was quiet. They weren't wrecking anything. In fact, from what I've seen, because I followed the whole case from beginning to end, I was listening to Pete Santilli from the initial protest or rally where they were walking through town saying, save the Hammonds, free the Hammonds, you know, and then before they decided they were going to the refuge. So I watched this from the very day that it happened, and even before, because I was following Evan Bundy, and he was going out to the Hammonds, he was trying to talk to them, and all that stuff.
The Hammonds are wonderful people. I've never met such a nicer family in all my life. And once I heard their story for the first time at the refuge, and I knew they were genuine, honest people. See, that really made me want to dig in and find out what the hell was going on.
Right. And so now you're up to the refuge, you met the folks, and there's absolutely, you feel no threat from these people whatsoever, because they wanted everybody to think that, oh my God, they're horrible, they're all, they're militia, they're going to take over and kill everybody. And it was nothing like that.
And see, if you go into my past, I was in the Army. I was a cavalry scout for 10 years. I went to different combat tours all over the world. I was in Korea for 2 years on DMZ. I was in Iraq, you know. And so I have a pretty good idea about what threats are. I didn't even know there was any militia left in the country. I had no idea. Nobody told me. You know, I've been isolated shoeing horses and welding up here in Oregon. You know, I've been really isolated from the rest of the world.
Right.
And so this is my first, I had no background information on the Bundys whatsoever. And once I met them, you could tell they were genuine, just like the Hammonds. Right. And they just wanted to help the situation any way they could.
Right. And they were following what's being in the Constitution under Article 1817, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the United States Constitution lays out exactly how much land the government can own. And they are...
And how much power the government does not have that they already have taken.
Right. Yeah.
You know... The government works for us. We don't work for the government.
Well, you could ask Karen how that works. Karen, how does that work in your system?
Not as well as they should.
They don't work for us no more. They don't work for us no more. They work for the corporations and the greed and the pharmaceuticals and the big dollar people. They don't care about the regular people. They're out to get us, steal our land, and agenda 21 right into the next century.
Yep.
No doubt we've been sold out. Absolutely.
They've stopped caring about the American people.
Yep. And you hear these guys, they come on TV. I listen to some of these guys, they come on the Hannity show and they act like they really care. I don't believe them.
Not very many of them.
Yeah, once they get elected, they get tainted as soon as they get up there because they show them pictures. They go, look, here's the guy. see that guy with the sunglasses there in the playground behind your kids? Mess with us. Guess what happens? That guy is following you wherever you go.
Yep.
And they go, oh, crap. You know what I mean? And then they got him. Or they, bring him an underage girl who presents herself as a 20-year-old and she's 16. And then they videotape it and go, see, look what we got you on here. Now you're going to do what we say. That's what I believe is happening in the government.
Now, I'm sure that happens more than we know. But what happened in the Hammond situation was two ranchers, somebody, BLM lit a fire to deliberately burn their ranch out, burn their feed out.
Right.
And they lit a back burn to protect them from that original fire.
Right. So it's kind of like a
across,
little
mini fire. Yeah. So they were just trying to save everything and they lit a back burn. You know, which they had permission to do. And then it burned across a fence, 127 acres, which is not much in burns whatsoever. Yeah. You know,
right.
127 acres is nothing compared to the millions and millions of acres the BLM has burned up. And yet they are convicted of a terrorism enhancement and sent to prison for 5 years.
It was double jeopardy.
Yes, yes. That's the second time they've been in prison because they went to prison, served their time, were released, and then a week before the statute of limitations runs out, they are required to report back to a federal prison. That's just chicken shit.
Now... What are they just had trumped up the charges on you recently, and then they sentenced you. What happened?
Yes.
How did they trump up the charges? How's it legal?
Okay.
And what did they get you for? What did they sentence you to?
2 days before my hearing on my sentencing, my lawyer gets a memo from the prosecutor at like 2:30 in the morning saying, hey, we're going for a terrorism enhancement on this guy that dug a hole. And that's basically what it said.
Now,
so I don't know how I terrorized anybody by digging a hole, but they tried to give me the same year, five-year minimum that they gave the Hammonds.
Right. So now, the reason you dug the hole in the first place, you're out the refuge, getting a little tense, and there was a reason why you even went out and dug the hole. Tell the folks why you dug the hole in the first place.
Yeah, the FBI and all the government contractors that were running patrols and surveillance and trying to kill us, the Blackwater troops that have been fucking with us the whole time we were on the refuge, they were increasingly encroaching on our position. So there was attack helicopters in the air. There was drones. There was armored trucks. And then me being one of the few combat veterans in this mess, I dug a foxhole with an excavator to try to keep everybody alive until I was able to establish some kind of communication with the FBI.
I watched the video.
Did you now?
Yep.
It's a lot better to watch than be in it.
And I saw the video of them taking the cameras down. I saw that video. I watched so much. I followed the whole thing.
Oh, man.
I had everybody on the show, too. I had Mr. Finnegan came on the show. Ammon came on the show. I had John Rickheimer and Jason Blumgren from the front gate while they were doing guard.
Joker Jay is a great guy.
Yeah, he got railroaded. They wrongly accused him of being an informant. They said he was going to turn state. He didn't do none of it.
Oh,
he's
a great guy. He's so solid, it's not even funny.
They don't have his car no more. They won't give him his vehicle. He's over there. He's back home, and he's, you know, his mom's sick, and he's got busted. You know, whatever.
Yeah, maybe we can get him some wheels. Maybe I'll send him a horse. I won't need it for a year, so.
And he'll need somebody who already knows to take care of him, you know.
Yeah,
all right. And his sister listens to the show still sometimes. I see her pop up on the live feed here and there once in a while.
Oh, man. No, I love Joker J, John Ritzheimer, everybody from the Refuge, you know. Even Blaine Cooper, you know. Everybody said how bad Blaine was, but, you know, he was standing right beside me at the Refuge with me. And I have to say, without him there at times, it would have been a lot more scary.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I can't say anything bad about anybody because all I know is of what I spoke on my show. I've had Blaine Cooper on the show, I've had John Ritzheimer on the show, Joker J on the show. Now I've had Dwayne Emmer on the show. Everybody's been on the show.
Well,
and everybody,
not everybody, I hope. We gotta get Hellboy on your show somehow.
That same delivery will be all right.
So what happened is I dug a hole.
Right.
It was about 10 foot wide, about 5, maybe 6 foot deep. And all it was a place to jump into when they started shooting at us.
Right. We expected them to shoot at you.
Yeah, we fully expected it, and there's no denying that it was a life and death situation. Even the prosecutor came forward this week and said, we know you were scared out of your mind and you were facing life and death, but we weren't allowed to have self-defense while we dug the hole.
Right.
The judge never gave us self-defense, so that's why I was convicted of digging a hole. And that's one of my 2,400 appeal issues.
That makes you a hardened criminal. Hey, man, what are you in for? Oh, man, I dug a hole. Huh?
Yeah,
what
that's
are you
right.
In for? I killed many people. What are you in for? I robbed the bank. What are you in for? I dug a hole.
Holy shit. And the first scoop of dirt hit a CenturyLink TV cable, right?
Oh, my goodness.
So call the first scoop of dirt hit the cable, and that they charged me $560 to fix the cable that they haven't used in 20 years.
Right.
And then they charged me for destroying artifacts.
Now, right, you guys
this
were pretty
is the main
you.
Part of the charge is they said I was destroying artifacts.
I watched one video. I think it was Lavoie and maybe and somebody else. They were going around. They were down in the basement and they were or downstairs, and they were video logging all the artifacts that were in there, picking them up, cleaning them off. There was rat droppings all throughout the area. Bird.
Oh, my God. It was so nasty and gross.
They cleaned the place from top to bottom. And you know what?
Yes.
You know why they added, after they let the first group of people off, you're free. Go, you know, and then they took Ammon and them to Nevada. The reason that they added those misdemeanor charges later was simply because they were like, uh-oh, we ain't going to get
the
restitution for all the damage that we caused when we raped the place.
They wanted a guaranteed conviction, and now they got it because the judge said it was a bench trial only on the misdemeanor charges as a backup.
Yep.
So
she instantly
convicted us with no jury trial on these charges, and that's against the Constitution.
And that was all because they raided that place and they took the last four people out of there, they trashed everything in that place looking for evidence. They turned that place upside down and they wrecked the place. And they were that's their fault. We got and once they let them first seven walk, they had to add them charges. Weren't going to get any of the
FBI sent guys in there to destroy the place. And I have video evidence and communication from these guys that were sent in there to destroy the place on purpose from the FBI. And we weren't allowed to bring any of that into the courtroom.
Well, I can tell you this, and I believe it to be true, that after you pay your debt to society and your last day of probation happens, you can file a civil suit against these clowns.
Well, we need to do something because I'm pretty sure the judge is tied up with the Clinton Foundation.
Yep.
And Uranium
Look at the judge
One.
Out in Nevada. Look at a judge out in Nevada. You had Judge Brown in Oregon, Judge Gloria Navarro out in she is unbelievable. I can't believe, though, that she actually said, well, you know what? Prosecution, you've got to release all that evidence. Because, man, all of a sudden it's like, oops. These guys
I wonder who started leaning on her, you know.
That's what it is, man. Harry Reid, he sent his goons over there. Harry Reid said, listen, Gloria, you better do I appointed you. I have the dirt on you. Maybe she just said, you know what, I can't take it. This is wrong what I'm doing. Who knows?
You know, you need on your show is Shauna Cox.
Yeah, she won't come on. I tried and tried and tried to get her on the show.
Oh,
she
my God.
On.
She has so much information about this.
Yeah. Well,
and,
she's in the back,
you know,
of the car, you know, and they're driving down the road and it's shooting at them, you know, and they're telling us,
yeah,
hey, they didn't shoot at them. You got people in the car going, they were shooting at us. I got video. I'm in the back seat.
They were shooting at them from the very first stop, from the very first traffic stop.
And Ryan getting out is unbelievable because now he can get that evidence out of his shoulder. I hope that he plans to get out and turn it over to his defense. Got to get that book out of his shoulder.
What do you think about the FBI being indicted for lying to everybody?
Yeah, and you notice how that's not in the news. They don't even talk about it.
No.
Quietly just
they won't even talk about it. I think they're just going to scrub it under the rug and ignore. That's what I think.
And once all the trials are over, those guys will have a job back out in the streets.
Oh, I'm sure. He's on paid vacation right now.
Right now they're somewhere under a palm tree sipping on a Mai Tai with an umbrella out of a coconut.
And I'm sure he'll get another name and a new job with another piece of paper, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
Be washed all away. I'm a big conspiracy theorist myself. You know, I don't trust our government.
Nope. Well, Then you must be like scratching your head over this whole thing in Vegas. Vegas is unbelievable. I'm going to be talking about Vegas here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a bunch of folks that one lady was at the Bellagio with her husband. One lady was at the Paris Hotel, and they had shootings all over Vegas. There was not just one shooter. Video was released this week of shooters on a rooftop adjacent to Mandalay Bay. They were about 10 stories below on a different rooftop. Two shooters, plain as day.
I wouldn't doubt it that they didn't have snipers in the helicopter.
Well, there was what it was. I saw a video, and the guy's like, okay, look, so you see this helicopter flying right in front of Mandalay Bay, and the reporter's talking about the helicopter, and the guy says, but look down here in the lower right-hand corner. And he slows it down, and you see muzzle flashes from two guns, plain as day. It is muzzle flashes. If you ever see the muzzle flash, you know what a muzzle flash looks like. These were freaking muzzle flashes.
It's plain as day.
You cannot mistake it. And two separate people up on this rooftop. And then he did Google Earth, and he zoomed in. And he said, look, there's doors here. It was unbelievable video. And then they got pictures of black ops soldiers with guns on bipods. On top of trailers, on top of trailers. On top of the trailers with guns on bipods, three of them. It's crazy. I've seen the pictures. It's as plain as day.
Yep.
And that's falling apart.
Man, I tell you. But it's so insane we can't trust our own government.
Nope. You know what happened?
You know, when I was in Iraq, I was totally happy to fight for my country.
Amen.
You know, because I knew who the bad guys were. Hell, I come home and there's no telling who the bad guys are now.
Right. You know, they had like 15 informants at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. Who's your friend?
There was closer to probably 30 informants at the refuge.
Crazy stuff, man. You know, it's crazy.
Yep.
You can't trust anybody. But you know what? I do
anybody.
This show and I trust everybody. They come on the show, we talk. And people
and
got
yet
good stories.
The Clinton Foundation is still out there making, stealing money from everybody. And she'll never be prosecuted, as far as I know.
I keep telling everybody Hillary's going nowhere. So, Dwayne, I have on the phone with us. She's been on hold. She was my featured guest tonight, and her story is unbelievable. She was in the NSA, and she blew the whistle on a little scandal that was going on there. And when she blew the whistle, all hell broke loose. She's been under attack, gang stalking, direct energy weapons, microwave weapons, like sitting in the house, and all of a sudden. You're freezing the house. It's 68 degrees in the house, but you're sweating on your legs. Your legs are hot and on fire, but you're freezing because they're zapping you. Do the pets come out, Karen, when they start firing from the neighbor's house? What happens to the pets? Do you have pets at the house?
Oh, man, that's a sad story. I've lost two cats, and now we're fighting cancer in my favorite dog. Because if you are in an electromagnetic field, it is very bad for any and all biological entities. You basically are going to develop cancer. Now, if it's at a certain level, and we're talking about not only directed energy weapons, but we are talking about what your local police are told are non-lethal weapons. Well,
right.
They are not non-lethal. They are not. So let's take an example of a radar gun. You don't exactly think of a radar gun as a weapon, do you? No, a policeman, state trooper stands there on the side of the road and fires at you. You're in the radar gun 2 seconds, and you're gone. Right? You're doing 60, and the speed limit 60, so you're good. You're gone. But that guy who's standing there all day long with a radar gun pointed away from him, he's getting cancer. Okay,
right.
because the non-lethal weapons are a type of directed energy weapon, and I will tell you that they're not all that directed. Anybody
right.
around them, to the right, to the left, and in back, they're getting exposure too. So this is, like I said before, this is to cook you, and if they have it at a certain level, they're trying to give you a brain bleed, like a stroke or a brain tumor. They're trying to give you a heart attack. If they lower it, then what they're trying to do is give you cancer. And I would tell you that there have been multiple men who have died under very suspicious circumstances. Judge Scalia, Breitbart, these people, as far as I know, yes. The CIA heart attack gun, it'll make your heart race like you're doing a marathon and you'll die. And they like to use it at 3-4 o'clock in the morning so you don't know you're in danger and you can't do anything about it.
Right. And it's been proven that they have the heart attack gun. There's patents for it and everything.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
They have it. So not only are they harassing people and stealing their land for uranium, which this is going to all get tied to Uranium One, all of what's happening out at Malheur. One of the reasons that they had to kill Lavoie and catch them in that roadblock is because they knew that Uranium One was going down and they were stealing this land for Uranium One. They didn't want that to get out. It's going to come out. It's going to come out.
I think so.
Our president's doing it. Our president's going to do it. This Uranium One deal is going to be big. There's going to be a cascade of arrests here any day now. And I can guarantee you that the deep state is racing to bring down everything they can before they get brought down themselves. It's coming. There's thousands of sealed indictments across the country right now. There's like 1,200, not thousands, 1,200 or something in all, like so many states, California, D.C. There's going to be actors, policemen, clergymen, people from all walks of life are going down. I really believe it. This is only speculation. But I do know that the most amount of sealed indictments in the history of our country are now in the courts starting October 1st. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't care. If they could just arrest Hillary Clinton and put her in prison. God,
they could.
If that happens, we're going to throw the biggest party. And we're going to wait for Dwayne to get out before we throw the party and all these other guys to get out. But we're going to throw a big party. We're all going to be there.
I got to go, guys.
Dwayne, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, Dwayne Emery is going to ride Hellboy. Are you going to ride Hellboy on the day you turn yourself in?
I'm going to ride all the way from my house. I think the total of the 300 miles to the prison.
Maybe we should turn it into a fundraiser. Everybody chip in $1 per mile.
Well, I figured it's probably my only transportation right now. I might as well ride them all the way there.
Right. And if everybody puts in $1 a mile, that'll be $300 from everybody. He'll have money while he's in there for commissary, money to maintain his property and his home while he's in the clink. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
That would be awesome. The girls from Texas, Cynthia Prim, I think she's going to do a fundraiser for us. And they're everybody from New York and Texas, and we got so much support out there, and the Patriot community's finally starting to come together.
Yeah, and as it falls apart in other areas, believe me, I'm out here all the time with this show, listening and watching. It's amazing how Patriots cut down other Patriots just because maybe they want a few more likes on their page. I don't get it. I don't care about likes.
But,
I don't.
But people like us and Anthony Rizzo and Cynthia Prim and Teresa Brookshire, you know, and Barbara Berg, you know, and John Ritzheimer. We are just steak and potato people, you know. We just do what needs done at the time.
Amen. Well, Dwayne, God bless you. You always have a place, man. Just call my show. I'll bring you in. We could talk. If you want to talk about cleaning the paddock, we'll talk about it.
Well, maybe I'll send you a video about me cleaning the barn out there in Burns.
Great. I'll post it on my pages.
All right. I love you guys. I got to go.
God bless, sir. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Well, we're closing in here, so I want to get a little more time in here with Karen. How have they harassed? Didn't they physically put their hands on you recently and try to have you Baker-acted because they say you're paranoid and crazy?
Oh, gosh, that's Tallahassee, yeah. Like I said, in late November 2016, NSA and these dirtbag FBI that can't be trusted because a lady I know said, I don't know who's more scary, the ISIS or FBI. And I said, well, I can't blame you. But anyway, when they started directed energy hitting us, I started reporting it. I started reporting certain things like the InfraGuard had basically hit my car 3 times in several months in 2016, you know, hit and runs to cause it damage. Because that's what they do. They just are basically out to cost money and harass you at every turn. They think that's patriotic for I don't know what reason. But it's really amazing.
They think it's patriotic.
Yeah.
Karen, you know why they think it's patriotic? They think it's patriotic because they look at you as the enemy, and they are fighting the enemy. That's why to them it's patriotic. They feel like they're helping
the
country.
Well, they need to look in the mirror.
You're obviously, we can tell how out of control, crazy, and manic you are by this very call. It's very show. Spoken sarcastically, of course.
Yes, I could tell. Well, you know, I tried to call the FBI and let them know what was going on. But as soon as I told them who I was, they hung up on me. And that was Tallahassee FBI. So very clearly, they had been told, if Karen Stewart calls you, don't give her any help. And I've written something called the DHS Watchlist Scam, and I can send it to you so you can take a look at it. It's basically a 2-page flyer for the people who have been put falsely on the watch list. What it is a scam. It is absolutely a scam. And what has happened is that the Department of Homeland Security has decided that a good money-making scam, totally innocent people, and we're talking about thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people on the watch list who are known to be innocent, okay?
Right.
So what they do is they trump up charges against them, put them on the watch list. Do you know that Obama lowered the criteria for putting somebody on the watch list to basically nothing? Okay?
Right.
All you have to do is say,
Here's a couple of them right here.
You just have to make an accusation.
Yeah. Not even. You can
That's
go,
it.
I don't know if you have the live feed up. You could say, look, I have a United States Constitution. I support and defend this from all enemies, foreign and domestic. I believe in Jesus Christ, less taxes, and small government. Guess what? You just made the list.
There you go.
That's all it took under
go.
The Obama administration to make the list.
Yes.
Crazy.
Well,
so guess what?
They put you on this
list,
and they secretly strip you of your constitutional rights. They secretly strip you of your human rights. They secretly strip you of your civil rights, private information, like your social security number and your birth date and things like that. And the people higher up start taking out properties in your name. They start taking out life insurance policies on you and trust funds. And then they start selling contracts on you. Let's say there's a chemical manufacturer in northern Florida, and they say, okay, here's Karen Stewart, you know, we've got her on the kill list. How do you want to kill her? You know, what types of experiments do you want to do on a human being that really are not legal, but you will sell you the opportunity to kill her with your poisons. And they take up on it. Maybe they pay $1 million. Maybe they pay them more. I don't know. But there are people I've known and who are telling me now that they're being poisoned and gassed in their own homes. Okay? That's one type of abuse. Another type is the directed energy weapons. And there are many manufacturers who make these weapons either for war or for so-called non-lethal. Well, if you take, like I said, you take a radar gun and you hold it against somebody's house from midnight to 6 a.m., you're very likely to kill them. Okay,
right.
So they're selling contracts on killing people with these weapons. How long does it take to kill them at level 3? So this
Crazy.
Is a scam. They're making money. They're human trafficking is what it's called. It's using your body without your permission, and they're making millions of dollars killing Americans who are completely innocent.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable. Folks, this is an unbelievable story. Karen, I hope you'll come on again as your story continues to develop and things move on. And hopefully they don't kill you. And, you know, Jesus Christ.
I'm hoping not.
Under attack constantly. You got to keep moving around.
It's 2 years.
Do you keep moving around so they don't? It's crazy. So, folks, if you feel like you're going to blow the whistle on something, be like Snowden and leave the country. So they can't nuke you to death. Otherwise, they're just going to get you. He's never going to come back here. Why would he ever come back here, even if Trump gives him pardons? But as soon as he gets here, they're going to directed energy weapon kill him.
Yeah.
They'll shoot him with the heart attack gun.
Yes.
He will not last. They will get him.
No.
They will get him. Karen, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm sorry we didn't get David Gorbatz on, and we talked. I talked to him on the phone. I called him and spoke to him, and he said he was coming on. And then I called him again, and during the show, we couldn't get him on, unfortunately, as he is somewhat of an.
You really do.
Yeah,
you got to get him on.
Yeah, I want to talk to him about his amazing career in counterterrorism. Holy crud. He's an amazing patriot. He's an American patriot all the way, you know, in the service. First federal agent ever in a battlefield in Iraq in 2003. I mean, it's unbelievable stuff. And his name is P. David Gorbatz. And we'll have him. We're going to get him on the show, even if it's just him by himself, not even talking about directed energy weapons. Although I would like to, he knows a little bit about it. I'd love to pick his mind about it because it's so crazy that they shoot this at American citizens. Oy.
Yeah.
But again, Karen, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
All right. That's another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. You got an extra half hour out of me tonight. My wife's probably going to be mad at me, but it was important, and we had to get Dwayne on. And because Dwayne got sentenced to a year and a day and 3 years of probation afterwards for digging a hole because they were scared. They were scared for their lives that the FBI was going to come down and kill them. So they dug a foxhole to try and survive. To me, it sounds like self-defense to me. You know, they were in a scared position, only trying to get some redress of grievance from the local government of an unconstitutional land grab. There were 50 ranchers or something like that out in the Bundy area that hightailed it in Nevada. How many ranchers were there on the Malheur Refuge? They told us, I can't remember how many. There were probably 50 ranchers in that property, too, at one time. And it's all an Agenda 21, now Agenda 30 plan. They want to get us out of rural areas. Folks, when they tell you we are running out of resources because we are overpopulated in this country, really take a look into the statistics of how much land is being used in this country by industry and by living. 3% of the country right now is developed. 97% of the United States is underdeveloped. 97%. You know how much resources we have in this country? We have endless resources. We only have to tap them. But here comes Joe Environmentalist. Oh, my goodness, you might squash that rare butterfly that nobody has ever seen before out there in the middle of nowhere. And they make it impossible with regulations and rules and bureaucracy to tap into the endless resources where we would never have to depend on anybody. Every house in this country that people live in can be fit into the state of Ohio. That's right, folks. You could have every single person side by side and every single person and just gave them a piece of land. You would have like over 1 square mile before you ever seen another person if you just put them in a row. We're not using the land, folks. They're lying to you. And they want us into the cities so they can suck up all the resources for themselves. You can believe it. They're lying to you at every chance they get to forward their agenda of unbelievable wealth and power over the people. Only 535 people in all the branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. 535 people make all the decisions for 330 million of us. Something scary about that, don't you think, folks? I think so. But anyway, I got to wrap it up. We're done in 90 seconds, folks, of live Patriot Nation radios. So if you're on the airwaves, it's going to cut off unless you're on hold. So I'm going to do this real fast. Join me. National anthem, folks.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, hailed the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
folks. Not a total confirmation yet, but this coming Monday, a week from today, there'll be no show Thursday. It's Thanksgiving. I'll be giving thanks. I won't be talking to nobody. I'll be giving thanks. I give thanks all the time, but I give extra thanks on Thursday. But a week from today, I am in the process of lining up Johnny Langendorf. He drove the pickup truck that chased after the Texas church shooter a few weeks back. Beyond Patriot Nation Radio. I'm working on it. I think he's coming on. I think we got him. That's next Monday right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. I'm not sure if James is going to be going live Thursday, but I'm sure he's going live tomorrow with the American Brand Radio Initiative. Make sure you check out that with Scott Kesterson. He's an Emmy Award-winning journalist, and he joins my sidekick, James Bostic, Tuesdays and Thursdays on American Brand Radio Initiative. I've been informed that my good friend Gonzalo Duran is going to be still taking some time off. He will be coming back, but he has an ill family member now. After his crash, he got in an accident and hurt himself. And now his mom is ill. He's got to take care of his mom, but he's in the process of transitioning everything over. And once he gets it all together, he's going to come back with Vet Talk with Gonzalo Duran right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Also, you want to check out Spread the Word with Deborah and Gillis. Search them out on Facebook. Spread the word. Then you want to check out United Saints of America.us and Pastor Sylvester Bland. Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. www.theunitedsaintsofamerica.us. Check it out. With that, folks, I want to say good night. God bless you all for tuning in. Love yous all. You are the reason I have a show. Phil, you missed it, brother. I'm wrapping up the show right now. I'm so sorry. Show starts 8 p.m. Eastern time right here on Facebook Live and on blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Head on over to the site. Click follow. Find me on Facebook. Join the show. Become a fan. Get the truth. Get the truth, man, and defend freedom. Remember, God loves you, and you can make that a guarantee. And don't always give thanks only on Thanksgiving. Give thanks every day. Just look out your window at the great things God has given you. Hallelujah. Man, it's good stuff. It's great to be alive. Good or bad, indifferent. I love living. And I wear the armor of God. Believe it. I'm ready to fight for my country and for my brothers. For my God. Till we meet again. Good night. God bless America. Love you all.